Okay, let's pray. Father, I love you. Thank you for today. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your church. I thank you for the Passpoint class. It's just awesome to be here with these guys. And I pray that you would just speak to us today. We started on a topic last week that I've really never dabbled too much into because it's kind of hard to really explain and put our finger on, but it's extremely important. And so I pray that as we get back into it today, that you would allow me to be removed from the situation, and you know, take the emotional aspects and you know, personal things that may or may not people have kind of going on, and that we would just hear from you, from the Word of God, on what something like this looks like in our life. And so I pray you'd speak to us today. Be with Brenton as he's teaching the real life class today, and I know there's just a lot of different people out moving around. David's preaching in Passaic, and you know, there's things going on in a lot of places. So I pray that you would just continue to use us to get the gospel where it needs to go on time. I thank you for the opportunity to just to minister, Lord, and I just thank you for counting us faithful and allowing us to be in the ministry. So speak to us today. I do pray for Rosie this week as she's bereaved of the passing of her husband, and you know, I also just continue to pray for just the family of the young man who passed away last weekend, and pray that you know, the gospel somehow gets where it needs to go through tragic circumstances. So, Lord, we know that you're on the throne, so we don't have to try to be, and you know, we can just understand it all when we get to heaven, Lord. And until then, we just be faithful to you. So I pray you speak to us in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, if you have your Bibles, open up to Acts chapter 16. I don't know why, but I am like super lethargic today. Usually I'm like bebopping, you know, I'm just ready to go, and I did not sleep well last night. I don't know what's going on, but I'm going to try to just press on through, but I'm just not feeling it today, so who knows. So anyway, if you were here last week, I had a handout, and so if you weren't here, because that's the way it always works, there's people in the ministry, there's an updated handout, it has the blanks in it. I'm not going to, if you need one of those, Paige has them. So anyway, we're definitely not going to get done today, but I feel like we could get, you know, a few more of these points, and we'll keep pressing forward. And so I'm going to do just very quick, little bit of like skipping the rock over review, and then we'll take off where we're at. And so I kind of just started with this question last week, and just to kind of fast forward and get us where we need to go. So have you ever asked some form of this question in your life? I just wish I knew what God wanted me to do about you fill in the blank. I just wish I knew what God's plan was for my life in you fill in the blank, right? And, you know, a lot of times we're like, I know I'm in the will of God, I'm doing what He's asked me to do, but what specifically does that look like in my life? I just want to be used. And, you know, you're just like, God, I just want clarity. I just tell me what to do. You know, and so that's kind of what we're going to look at today and in last week, and then as we move forward in Acts chapter 16. Coincidentally enough, it's just right here, right in front of us, and so we can address some of this. And so I'm going to just very quickly fill in your blanks from what was last week. So teaching point one, you'll never fully understand the plan of God for your life without first hearing and understanding the call of God in your life. And the call of God is what we don't talk about a lot. We talk about the will of God a lot, right? We need to be in the will of God. You got to be saved. You got to be sanctified, right? And we talk about the plan of God because that's individual to each person's life. Some people are going to be pastors and missionaries. Some people are going to be, deacons. Some people are going to be teachers. Some people are just going to be, you know, good servants in the body of Christ. And that's okay. And everybody's plan is a little bit different as long as you're doing what God has called you to do. Okay? But where does the call of God come in? And not for, I mean, I'll just be honest. We don't talk about the call of God a lot because it's really hard to explain. And it's even harder to put your finger on, right? And so until you come across the passage where it's just like, I mean, she doesn't have to get mad and leave. It's not that, I mean, I wouldn't say about everybody. I mean, so anyway, I'm kidding. So the call of God is just really hard to put your finger on. And then when it's in your own personal life, it's even harder to discern what it is, especially if you're somebody who's sold out, who's bought in. Because you're like, I'll just do whatever God tells me to do. Just tell me. There was a situation fairly recently, and Paige and I were meeting with Brian, and I basically told him this. I'm like, if you would just tell me what to do, then I'll just do that, and then I'll be content with it. And whatever it is, I don't care. I just want to serve the Lord, and you can answer to the Lord for whether it's right or wrong. Because, like, I just want to submit. I just want to obey. And so, you know, sometimes in life you're just like, well, if you just tell me what to do, I'll do it. You know, and sometimes we're like, man, if our kids would just think that way. But, you know, in life as Christians, if just tell us what to do. And that's kind of what the call of God is like. And so, and to complicate things even more, you know, here's another thing to understand. Teaching point two, the call of God, revealing the plan of God, will not come to someone who's not living in the will of God. So just to fast forward through that, if you're not in the will of God, if you're not saved, okay, and then if you are saved and you're not living the things that you know to be true, which would be sanctification, then the plan of God really doesn't matter. And the call of God is even farther off not mattering, because you have to be in the will of God first. And that was kind of where we started, okay? And so I put it like this. If you're like me, when you hear all of this all at once, and you're like, oh, okay, well, that makes it completely clear as mud, right? And that basically makes, you know, the call of God about as easy to understand as, like, the eighth mystery of the New Testament, right? I think that's what, you know, it is in my life, because I just don't get it. So, you know, anyway, we talked about the what the will of God was, what the plan of God was, and, you know, we hit all that. If you don't understand those things, you're going to have to go back and listen to last week, because we got to get to some fresh stuff. But teaching point three said this: God's call, because I really wanted to pinpoint on this, is His way of revealing His plan to those who are living in His will. Okay, so I kind of said the same thing that I said before, but His call is His way of revealing His plan to those who are living in His will. Okay, and so, you know, He uses the Word of God, you know, He uses wise counsel, leadership, open and closed doors, the Holy Spirit, and then He confirms those things through prayer and fasting and the Word of God and pastoral leadership, you know, circumstances being prayed over and confirmed, all of those different things. So, anyway, let's just jump back into Acts chapter 16, and I'm going to read the passage so you can kind of see why we're even talking about this if you weren't here last week, and then we need to get going. So, and there's a map on your handout, not because I'm good at geography, but because as I read through this, I kind of it helps me to pinpoint, like, these are not just towns. Some of them are regions, and so kind of you can kind of follow along, like, oh, okay, these are actually places, right? They're not just words in the Bible; they're actually places. And so, if you want to do that, if not, don't look at it. I don't care. You know, it's just there if you want it. Okay. Chapter 16 and verse 1. Then came he to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus, the son of a certain woman, which was a Jewess, and believed, but his father was a Greek, which was well reported of by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium. Him would Paul have to go forth with him, meaning he's going to take him on his journey the rest of the way, and took him and circumcised him because of the Jews which were in those quarters, for they knew all that his father was a Greek. So if you're like, wait a minute, I thought they didn't have to get circumcised, go back and listen to 2 weeks ago. I clarified all that. I don't have any time to explain it. So 2 weeks ago, we talked about all things to all men and why Paul thought it was necessary to circumcise Timothy, even though he wasn't a Jew. Okay? And go back and listen to all that. Okay. Verse 4. And as they went through the cities, meaning now it's Paul and now it's Timothy, and very soon, fast forward to, I think, verse 11 or 12, Luke joins the crowd. Okay? And so they're gaining more on the team. And as they went through the cities, they delivered them the decrees for to keep that were ordained of the apostles and the elders which were at Jerusalem. So back up several weeks ago, when we talked about, you know, there was a contention after the first trip about, well, the Gentiles need to start keeping the law and all these, you know, they need to get circumcised. And, you know, Paul ends up having to go to Jerusalem and explain himself. And then the Jerusalem council said, as long as they keep these four things, they don't have to keep the law of Moses. Okay? So that's what he's talking about. They're going to these churches where he had already went to on his first trip. He's also stopping in different places along the way. And he's confirming the churches with the things that the Jerusalem council had said. You don't have to keep the law of Moses. These couple things, you know, don't fornicate. You know, don't be eating the cheap meat down sold at the corner that most of it was offered to Baal. You know, we don't want to do that. There was just a few things like, hey, don't do that. Don't live an unholy life, basically. But no, you don't have to keep the law of Moses. That's what he's doing. He's going town to town to the places he was at during his first trip, and he's saying, hey, this is all you got to do. He's confirming the churches. He's sharing the gospel, all those different things, okay? But then here's what happens. And in verse 5, and so were the churches established in the faith and increased in number daily. That's like a really cool place to be if you're a church. You're just in the fellowship. We talked about that last week. Okay, but where's the call of God come in? Well, it comes out of nowhere a lot of times. Let me just tell you, a lot of times it comes completely from where you're not expecting it, when you're not expecting it, and that's kind of what happens to Paul. So So let's just kind of go through what happens here. Now, when they had gone throughout Phrygia, or Phrygia, however you want to say it, in the region of Galatia, they were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia after they were come to Mysia. Okay, so after they came to Mysia, so that's a region, they were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach in Asia. Well, that's kind of hard for Paul to do, because that's all Paul ever did was preach the word. We don't know why. We're going to talk about that today. But anyway, just get your mind wrapped around. So he's on this trip, and now all of a sudden he can't do the one thing he knows how to do, preach the word. Well, now what are we going to do? They essayed, meaning they wanted to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. That's the second closed door. And they, passing by Mysia, came down to Troas, and a vision appeared unto Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia, which is like modern-day Italy, and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. He's had two closed doors in his face. All he wants to do is do what God called him to do. I'll do it anywhere, is basically what he's thinking at this point. And out of nowhere, out of the blue, here's the call. Come over into Macedonia and help us. We're begging you. We need somebody. We just need somebody. And so that's the call. In verse 10, and after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. Therefore, loosing from Troas, we came into the straight course to I figured out how to pronounce this week because I made a fool of myself last week. And now, Samothracia. Yeah, Samothracia. And the next day to Neapolis, and from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city in that part of Macedonia. And the city abiding certain, and we were in the city abiding certain days, you know, and then they basically go down by the river, they meet Lydia, and the rest is history, right? And so, that's the call. But what does it have to do with us? So anyway, here's what I got. I'm still where we were last week. So, trying to get to some news. So here we got seven biblical truths to help us understand the call of God in your life. And so, the first one that we talked about last week, and then we're going to get moving forward. The call of God will reveal the plan of God to the believer who's currently walking in the will of God. I've already said that like three times, okay? But we need to understand that, because if you're not in the will of God, you're never going to understand the plan. And the plan's never going to change, because you're never going to get a call, because, well, back to square one, you're not living in the will of God, okay? It starts with being in the will of God, okay? And so, you know, we talked about, you know, Paul, he's doing exactly what he's already doing. He's confirming the churches. I explained all of that. There's some things that you notice him not doing, though. He's not trying to, like, reinvent the wheel to do something that, you know, he wasn't already doing. He's just doing what God told him to do. Teaching point four, God's call comes to those who are more concerned about being in God's will rather than those who are looking for a new plan. God just wants you to do, that's why in past point we talk about this all the time, just be what it is that God's called you to be so you can do what it is that God's called you to do. Okay? Do that. If you're in the center of that, then you don't have to worry about a new plan or something changing, this, that, or the other. And so, anyway, we talked a lot about that last week. So, you know, that's where they were. He was going town to town. But the second thing that will help us understand the call of God in our life, because we got to get through some of these. There's some really good stuff here. Like, I want to articulate it well. In verse 5, it says, and so were the churches established in the faith and increased in number daily. Like, this is good stuff. The call of God often comes when things are going well instead of rough. The call of God often comes when things are going well instead of rough. You would think it would be the opposite. Well, things are rough, so it's time for a change. Change of scenery, this, that, or the other. No, it actually doesn't happen like that. Verse 5 is a picture of what the quote-unquote church corporately should look like. It doesn't say the church. It says churches, plural. What does it say about them? It says that they're established in the faith. What does that tell you? Well, it tells me that there must be teaching going on, because if you're going to be established in the faith, somebody's teaching somebody. There must be unity. So there's not a whole lot of 1 Corinthians going on yet. Right? There's not a lot of Corinth going on yet. There's unity. There must be investment because, you know, without investment in people's lives, they check out. So, you know, we call that discipleship. It says that they're established in the faith. These things are happening. It says they increased in number. What does that tell you? Well, there must be evangelism. You know, people don't just show up to the church and say, you know what I should do? I should get saved today. I heard this was a good thing for my life. Other than my brother, I really don't know anybody that just showed up at the church and said, I'm here to get saved. Right? You'll have to ask him about it, man. He did. I I don't have time to tell the story, but I knew I needed to share the gospel with him, but I didn't know how. So I basically asked him, "Are you saved?" "Oh yeah." I'm like, "When did you get saved?" You know, and he's like, he couldn't answer. He's like, "Well, what do I need to do?" I'm like, "You should talk to Brian. You should talk to Pastor Brian." I was very young in the Lord. I knew enough that God had changed my life, and I didn't want to mess it up on his life. So what did he do? He calls the church. He talks to Kathy back in the Kathy Cundiff days. He sets up an appointment with Brian. "Hey, I need to meet with the pastor." Ask Brian Hedges. He walks into Brian's office. Brian's like, "Hey, how can I help you?" "I need to get saved. I was told I needed to come talk to you." Brian's like, "It was the biggest open door I've ever had in my life," right? I mean, that doesn't usually happen is what I'm saying. And so it says they increased in number. Somebody must be telling somebody about Christ. There must be people getting saved. That's how increasement happens, okay? We understand how physical increasement happens in our families, okay? We're not going to talk about that, but physical or a spiritual increasement, people are getting saved, okay? There must be investment in people. And it must be daily for it to be happening enough for them to write it down. Not just on Sundays. Not just, you know, when church is happening. Like, there's investment happening. Let me just tell you, it's okay to invest in people outside of the four walls of the church. I know you guys know that, but somebody needs to hear that. It's okay to invest in somebody outside of here. People need to see that Jesus is real in your life outside of this place. They need to see it in your home. They need to see what it looks like daily. They need to see what it looks like when you're just figuring out life, taking care of the kids, when you're, you know, feeding the family, when you're doing the things. Like, that's the time to disciple somebody. Because discipleship is so much more caught than it's ever going to be taught. You've got to live life with people. And that's what's happening here. That's what tells me. Things are going well, is what I read here in verse 5. Things are going well. I'm sure, if you were to ask Paul, he's quote-unquote content with the plan that God has given him. You know, if these are the results from what he's doing, like, God gave me this plan, I'm supposed to go and you know, establish churches, and then when I come back around, this is what the churches look like, I would be content. I'd be like, you know what? This is where I need to be. This is what I need to be doing. You know what I don't see Paul doing? Getting bored with doing the same thing. I don't see him looking for something quote-unquote new. Well, I've done that already. I served in that ministry. I tried that. I don't see him looking for something new. He's just content to do, I'll just do what God told me to do. Teaching point 5. Those who are busy with God's current plan are often caught off guard by a new call because they think ministry is going too good for God to change it. Why would God move me? Things are happening right here. People are getting saved. Lives are getting changed. People are buying in. Why would God give me something new? Why wouldn't he call somebody else? I'll just keep doing what I'm doing right here. People who are content and busy with God's current plan, they're caught off guard when something new comes. They're just like, where'd that come from? I'm not looking for that. Let me just tell you, when ministry is rough is when most people start searching for a new call, right? Ministry's hard. Hey, God, you got a call in here? New ministry for me? Something different? I mean, anything, you know, when ministry starts getting understaffed, when others start to leave, when we quote-unquote feel, let me just tell you, your feelings have no place in the ministry, right? You're here to serve, okay? And I'm not saying feelings are a real thing. Emotions are a real thing in the Bible. You just have to learn how to check them at the door when we're serving for the Lord, okay? You have to. When we feel like we're the only ones who are following, that's when we're like, God, you got something else? Maybe I ought to check Acts chapter 16 out. Maybe there's a new call in there for me. You know, maybe I ought to, you know, hit the passages I know where you're calling people. Let me just say, these are the times we look for a call, when really these are the times that God is simply asking, are you really in it? Are you really willing to stay? I'm not really looking for somebody to go. I'm looking for somebody to stay. Remember 1 Kings 19? You know, I don't have time to go there. You're going to have to go back and get it. 1 Kings 19, verses 1 to 18. It's basically when Elijah is like, God, I'm the only one. There ain't nobody left. I'm the only one who hasn't bowed the knee to Baal. You know, Elijah was a dude for God. You know, if you're keeping up with the reading plan, we're actually reading through Elijah right now, but, you know, Elijah was a dude. You know, he was like, God, I'm the only one left. Everybody else, they done checked out. I'm the only one left who hasn't bowed down to Baal. And, you know, if you read through that passage, God's like, actually, Elijah, I still got like 4,000 guys who haven't bowed the knee to Baal. Just because you can't see them doesn't mean they're not there. They might feel the same way. You fight the battle that's right in front of you. Think about Nehemiah, right? They got to build the wall, right? He didn't say, you got to build this entire wall. He said, hey, here's what you need to do. You build the wall in front of you. And the guy next to you, he's going to build the wall in front of him. And the guy over there, he's going to build the wall in front of him. And if everybody just does that, before you know it, this thing's going to be done. But too often, we try to think, well, this is never going to work if I don't do it. I'm the one that God gave the plan to. I've got to be the one. And it's not like that, guys. Go back and read that passage in 1 Kings 19. It's good. It's the times when we think something different would be better, would be easier, that we're the only ones. Those are the times that God says, just be obedient. Just be obedient. These are the times God needs someone to stay instead of somebody to go. Right? The opposite is true when ministry's going great, right? You've been in ministry when it's going good, and it feels easy. It's just like, I don't know why everybody don't want to do this. This is great. I get spiritual rewards for doing this. This is awesome. It feels comfortable. It's natural. You're just bebopping your way through ministry. Like, I don't know why everybody doesn't want to do this. Being faithful and obedient like Paul. This is typically when the call comes. It's typically those times. And you're like, why? I like what I'm doing here. I'm content on this side of Jordan. You know, there was two tribes that were like, you know what? We got cows, and cows like grass. And if you didn't notice, Moses, there's a lot of grass right here. I know there might be grass on the other side of Jordan too, but I tell you what, we'll stay here. We'll take this as our inheritance. And you guys go. And Moses, he gets all hacked off, and they're like, no, we'll go and fight with you, but we want to come back here. And Moses is like, fine, if that's what you want. You know what that's the equivalent to? That's the equivalent of saying, I know heaven sounds really, really good, but what I got right now is pretty good too. And we become content with this side of Jordan. Because Jordan's a picture of heaven, right? I mean, God forbid that we just become content with where we're at. Now, you have to be careful, because the New Testament says godliness with contentment is great gain. Okay? But don't ever just say, I'm good here, I don't need to go any further. God wants us to go all the way. God wants us to go just all the way. Okay? And so, because that's what they say. They even say, you know, when Moses, they go and they, you know, they take Jericho, and then the next day what they do, they go to Ai and they get their tails whooped because why? They didn't do it God's way. And then what's Moses say? Would to God that we had been content on the other side of Jordan like the other guys. He says that. Right? He says, would to God that we had been content. And then God's like, no, get up. Get off your face. Israel has sinned. Figure it out and we'll move forward, okay? Sin's always going to hinder you, by the way. Okay, so we got to keep moving. It's typically the times that the ministry is going great that the Lord comes in and he's like, hey, but why don't you try this? The Lord wants us stretched, not comfortable in ministry. Ministry should be uncomfortable. Why? Because when it's uncomfortable, you rely on him instead of you. When it's easy, it's like, I can teach these kids, it's not a big deal. And God's like, okay, watch this. Have you seen this kid before? You don't know this kid. And then you're like, you're right, God, I didn't. And it happens. Ministry shouldn't be comfortable. It should be fun, but it should never be comfortable. And I fear at times that ministry becomes comfortable. And God's blessing it. And we think, well, this is where I'm going to be until I die. And maybe it is. But don't be surprised when things are just that good that something crazy comes. The best way I can put it is this, and we'll move on. If you're looking for a new call, it's probably not coming. But if you're comfortable where you're at, doing what God has already called you to do, don't be surprised if the phone starts ringing. And then you're like, well, now what? Right? Well, I don't know. As soon as you figure out the call of God and can explain it, I'll let you explain it to me. but I'm doing my best out of this passage to explain it to you. 1 Thessalonians 5:24 says, "Faithful is he that calls, he who also will do it." This verse is true both for those who need to dig in and stay when it's hard, and those who need to go because they're comfortable. Faithful is he that calls, he who also will do it. Okay? Number three, the third thing to help us understand the call of God in our life. Faithfully submitting to the Spirit before the call will put you in the right place at the right time to hear the call. Okay, and I'll explain that. Faithfully submitting to the Spirit before the call comes will put you in the right place at the right time to hear the call. So, verse 6. "Now when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia." And then it goes on, the first part to the comma in verse 7, after they were coming to Mysia. So they came into Mysia, and then they were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. So sometimes it's one of those you have to read on, because they came to Mysia first, and when they were in Mysia, the Holy Ghost forbade them to preach the word in Asia. Okay, so let's explain this. So we don't know a lot about what exactly is going on or what has happened since verse 5, but something has changed. Things are awesome in ministry, and something has changed. It says that they were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. Now, there is way more here that we don't know than what we do know. But at times like this, you have to stick with what you do know. Okay? It says that they were forbidden of the Holy Ghost. That's like telling a fish, "I need you to walk, right? Not, don't swim, right? I know that's what you were basically created to do, but Paul, you can't preach the gospel, right?" It's like, I mentioned this last week, it's like telling Forrest Gump, "I need you to walk somewhere instead of run," right? The dude was created to run. That's what he did, right? It's like your call in life is to do this, and now all of a sudden, he's like, "But you can't preach it here." And Paul's like, "What do you mean I can't preach it here? That's what I do, right? You can't tell me I can't preach here." And God's like, "Well, actually, I can tell you anything I want to tell you." You know, sometimes we get a little too comfortable in what we do. We know it's not because of persecution. That's what I do know. Because, like, if you remember on his first trip, Paul gets stoned to death. I don't think persecution's what he's afraid of, okay? I don't think it's because they were worried about getting a beating, you know, because at this point, Paul's like, "There ain't nothing God can't get me through. He brought me back from the dead. They stoned me to death, and here I am." It's not because of persecution. For whatever reason, the Spirit said, "Not here. Not now." For whatever reason. And if you've ever been through something like this in your life, it's hard to hear. "Not here, not now." But what if Paul would have done it anyway? People ask that. Well, that's what Paul was created to do. He should have just went ahead and done it. What if he would have done it anyway? Who knows? I'm not here to assume. Here's what I do know. Had he not followed the Spirit, the call to Macedonia may never come. Had he not just been where it is that God needed him to be right now, the call may never come. But what about us? What does that have to do with us? Teaching point number 6. If we aren't sensitive to the Spirit daily, we might miss out the next time He calls. If you're not sensitive to the Spirit daily, you might miss the next time He calls. So what do we know about God? We know a lot about the Lord, but we know He's omnipresent, meaning He's all places at all times. Okay? I can't do that. I haven't figured out how to be in two places at once. That would be great. Okay, but we know that about that. He's omnipotent, meaning He's all-powerful. There's nothing He can't do. We know that He's omniscient. He's all-knowing. He knows all things that ever did happen, ever are happening, and ever will happen. Okay? So, I would assume that knowing that He's all places at all times, He's all-powerful, He's all-knowing, knowing those things about God, we could say that He might know some things that we don't yet. A lot of times we're like, "Well, that's not the plan, God." And I think God's just like, "Yeah, you're right. That's not the plan." Can we just assume that maybe God knows some things that we don't yet? I think we can. Just because we think we know doesn't mean that He doesn't know more. Maybe you do know, but He knows more. You know, it's like if you've ever been evangelizing and, you know, you're like, you see the right person come and it's like, "Oh, that's the person I'm going to talk to. They look like just the right person." And you ask, you're like, "Hey, can I ask you a question?" "Nope." "Wow, I read that one wrong." You know, and then you got somebody that, like, you look at them and they're like, "I'm not saying anything to that guy." Caleb and I saw, Caleb watched this. We were up there doing the World Cup thing. And there was a person, and I'm like, yeah, that's probably not the person. They walked right up to me, and they're like, hey, what do you got? I'm like, I got this right here. You can have it, sir. Sometimes we don't know like we think we know. Submitting to the Spirit, even when it doesn't fit the plan, is allowing yourself to be used of God instead of trying to do the work of God. Okay? It's like Peter. You know, Peter knew what God said, and, you know, the Spirit came and said what to him in Acts chapter 10? Hey, I need you to go talk to this Gentile dude. And he wasn't like, nope, God, that's not the plan. He's like, yeah, okay, doesn't make sense, but I'll do it. You know, 2 Chronicles chapter 6, verses 7 and 9, David's like, God, I got this really awesome plan. I'm going to build you a house. It's going to be really cool, right? And it's going to be awesome, extremely magnifical. That's really, I mean, that's a Bible word. And God's like, that's a cool idea. I'll have your son do it, but not you, right? What do you think that made David feel like? Wait a minute. It was my idea. It was my ministry plan. You're going to let somebody else do it? Yep, I am. Right thing, wrong time. You ever heard that before? Right thing, wrong time. Hebrews 11:8, you know, says when Abraham was called, he obeyed and went, not knowing where he was going. Sometimes you need to obey, not knowing what it's exactly going to look like. Acts chapter 20 and verse 28. Just a coincidental cross-reference that popped up when I was doing this study. The Holy Spirit, talking about the Spirit leading Paul through this, it says the Holy Spirit will lead you to the flock that he wants you to oversee. Thought that was interesting. The Holy Spirit will lead you to the flock that he wants you to oversee. If we'll simply submit to the Spirit daily, we'll be right where we need to be when the call comes. Right? We will. If we'll just submit to the Spirit daily, we'll be right where we need to be when the call comes. Okay, I'm going to do one more. If you can stick around, please do, because I got to get through this, because it kind of ties right into this, okay? I promise, if you've got kids ministry, those who are watching the kids right now, they won't leave. So just tell them I said sorry. Just tell them I said sorry. Church doesn't start till 10:30. Okay, number 4, verse 7. Following the Lord's plan instead of your plan for your life keeps you inside His will for your life. Which, by the way, is where you have to be to receive the call, okay? You got to be in the will. So following the Lord's plan instead of your plan for your life keeps you inside of His will. So verse 7, this I got to get here because I can't leave this hanging, because Bithynia, man, it's a thing. After they were gone through Mysia, so that ties back in, it says, they essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. They essayed to go to Bithynia. Look at your map. It's up north. Nobody's ever been to Bithynia. They essayed to go to Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. So we saw in the last verse that Paul's not allowed to preach in Asia, so he decides to head north to Bithynia. If I can't do it here, I'm going to go somewhere that I can. If I can't do what I'm called to do here, then I'm going to go somewhere where that I can. So what do we know about Bithynia? Because I'm trying to understand Bithynia a lot in my own life right now. Not much, right? The Bible doesn't say much about Bithynia. It says that they essayed to go to Bithynia. That word essayed means to try or to attempt, to assess value. They wanted to go there. The Bible doesn't record any specific social or political turmoil happening there. Maybe there was, I don't know. For whatever reason, it says that you can't go there. In a historical context, Bithynia was a wealthy Roman province that was heavily populated with Greek cities. You would think that Paul should have went there, okay? But the Spirit said no. Here's what we do know, though, because this is what we need to stick with. What do we know? Paul wanted to go there, but the Spirit said no. And here's what's really key about Bithynia that most people miss. One other very key thing that we know about Bithynia by studying our Bible is found in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 1. I don't have time to go there, but you know what we learn there? The gospel makes it to Bithynia without Paul ever going there. The gospel made it to Bithynia, and Paul never went there. Sometimes we think if we don't do it, it won't happen. We think that if I don't do this, it is never going to happen. Let me just say, Peter ended up in Bithynia. Different guy, same gospel. Different guy, same God. What does that teach us? Because that's what we really need to get. This is what I really need to get. Teaching point number 7. Being submissive to the call in our own life is extremely important. Because if we follow our will instead of His, we interfere with the call on somebody else's life. You're now playing God. By Paul not going, it opened the door for years later for Peter to get the call for Bithynia. By Paul not going, by obeying the Spirit, he not only opened the door for the Macedonian call for him, but he opened the door for the Bithynian call to Peter, which just isn't recorded. But too often we think, well, if I don't go, who's going to go? Too often in ministry, we think that we have to be the one. We've got to be the one. Let me just say it. That's an anti-discipleship mindset. We have to be okay with somebody else getting the glory for something that was our idea or that we did most of the work for. Yesterday, I have to tell this story because it fits perfectly. We had to take a dessert to this family gathering yesterday. And Paige said, we should make Rice Krispie treats. I'm like, okay. And so she's like, I need to get ready. Go melt a stick of butter. Okay. And then she comes in and she's like, okay, put the marshmallows in there and stir. Okay. And she's getting ready. And then she comes back in and I'm like, is it melted? Yeah, it's melted. It's just like it is. And so put the stuff in and get them all ready. I got the pan all buttered up because I've watched her do this enough time. I like Rice Krispie treats. So, you know, you just got to, you know, all for what? For Paige to show up with this pan of Rice Krispie treats like she made them. And you know what? She did. I mean, that's a really funny example, but too often in ministry, we're like, absolutely not. You're not going to go get the glory for something I put all the work into. Why would I let you cross the finish line when I'm the one who got it here? It's an anti-discipleship mindset. 2 Timothy 2:2. What's Paul do? We understand that's a verse we use, you know, here to get the God. It says the things that thou hast committed unto me, unto faithful man commit. Mitch, say it. Gosh, dang it. Yes. We need to commit them to faithful men. So what does that tell me? Paul lets Timothy get the glory for his work. He says, I'm going to commit these things to faithful men so that you can go and reach all these other people. He could have been like, no, Timothy, you're my disciple. Now come and watch me make another disciple of me. And then you guys can both come and watch me make another disciple of me. And then the three of you can come and watch me make another disciple of me. Instead, we're like, no, I've trained you. Now you go do it. And let it be fruit to your account. We're pretty much done. In ministry, I've often thought, why would God close that door when there was such a great need? And I don't mean Bithynia, but I just mean in general. Why would God close the door to something that God is blessing so much? The simple answer is, it wasn't my door to open. And if I had, then somebody else wouldn't have been able to. So what's the point for us? And this is it. I'm done. Because understanding Bithynia is very key to understanding the call. Understanding where you're not going to go is very key to understanding where you are going to go. And this will make it clear as mud. Three things. Don't force Bithynia when your next call is Macedonia. Okay, that's easy enough. But don't spend your entire life waiting on Macedonia when your place is Bithynia. And if that's not confusing enough, and I'll say them again for anybody who wants them, don't spend too much time discerning between the two, because your call may have been to stay and preach in Asia the whole time. I'm saying, guys, discerning the call of God is so hard, especially if you just want to be used of the Lord, because you just want to serve. And don't force Bithynia. Well, no, I'm going to go here. Because you know what? The next call might be Macedonia. But don't spend your entire life saying, well, I've got to wait for my Macedonian call, when you were supposed to go to Bithynia the whole time. And then you're like, well, I can't understand the difference between the two. And you spend your entire life trying to discern. And you know what you find out? You were the one that was supposed to preach in Asia. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 to 13. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and teachers, right? He goes on, he lists all these different things. For what? For the edifying of the body of Christ is basically what it boils down to. You know what that tells me? we're all going to be called to different places at different times. Search the face of the Lord. Ask Him what it is for you. And when you make a decision, make a decision. You can't live half with one foot in and one foot out. You just can't. You can't be in two places at once. When you know that God, this is what God's doing, you just say, you know what, this is what God's doing. I'm committed to it. Because you know what? Even if I can't go there, Peter's going to get to Bithynia. There's somebody better than me that's going to get there. Right? Be content with what the Lord has called you to do. Let's pray. Father, I love you. I thank you for today. Thank you for just everything that's going on. I thank you for just helping us discern the call of God in our life, even though it almost seems more confusing. Lord, I know that in your perfect timing, you will reveal all things to us. And we need to be content in that. And Lord, I just pray that you would just have us serving where we're at until then. Lord, I thank you so much for the Word of God. I thank you for everybody in the Passpoint class being faithful. I pray that you just speak to us today in Christ's name. Amen. Taylor, I don't know what you did to that.